fine.
And some Sunday night when you want to talk about an emergency preparedness, you might like to hear 6 months or 5 months with connection to the grid, generator at the house through spring and summer.
I think that would be a great topic for next week. I know Dick is also interested in it, and we have many people here who is they're not familiar with being off the grid, but a lot of people would like to hear about it, I'm sure.
One of the tricks I learned, you know those tiny little dollar size coin candles, sometimes called tea lights, T-E-A lights? They're little shallow candles, an inch diameter, half inch thick.
Similar to the votive candle?
The advantage to them, they are a little candle in a metal can, a shallow metal can, so that they can't tip over. They're their own holder. They use up all their wax, and the wax can't drip anywhere.
Oh, yes, I've seen them, and they're a little, almost like a foil-type canister that they're in. Yes, I've seen those.
If you want to simmer soup or warm a coffee or a tea or preheat a kettle of water, not enough to boil them. It's not really enough to boil water, but you can get little metal frames they sell for camp, you know, camp fuel, little quarter-sized fuel pellets. Well, they hold those candles really well. Anyway, I just thought I'd say hi from Toronto.
Always good to hear from you, Jim. And you should come on more often. But is it, what's the temperature up there? Are you starting to get chilly?
Well, realize that we are south of North Dakota. Remember that. Toronto is not that far north. Adirondacks is way north from us. But we're at 34, 35, 36. I'm only a mile from the lake. So the moderating effect of Lake Ontario could see that inland a bit, say further, you know, 5 miles north could be at freezing. But we have not gone below freezing yet. No ice on the windshield. No frozen mist. No sign of snow. It's still early.
Okay. Difference is about 12 degrees. Oh, all right, nice. I thought you'd have snow on the ground by now.
You could go to Christmas without snow. Remember, Toronto is only 44 degrees north. Still here. Does Wes hear us still? Heard the words, we lost the repeater, and I hear Wes. Wes, I think you're X-rayed Golf November. We've never actually talked. I hear you many nights on the net. I've probably caught every Sunday night. Though I haven't checked in or commented, I probably haven't missed a Sunday night. I missed one Sunday night since the start of the summer. I've caught nearly all of the nets. A couple of them, of course, were a little disrupted, but I'm glad they're back. And something you can pass traffic.
Question is, can you still hear?
Well, for us, it's a big repeater. It covers a wide area, a major number of people from the vacation property, vacation area south through other cities and towns. And they carry this net regularly on Sunday nights. I know that the controller was aware of the technical difficulties and did bring it back, so... Very few check-ins, but I know there's people listening.
Hey, like to ignore.
Missouri.
NY2, speak up.
Hey, good evening. Yes, the board that did approve of the repeater coming back at 1 o'clock. I'm not sure that that was put into place. I've been asking, and I have a feeling it hasn't. I just manually turned it back on, so hopefully it'll stay on for you, at least for tonight.
Thank you, Lou. By the way, Lou, did you know that the chat room is not working tonight?
Negative, no, I didn't. So we'll take a look at that.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Lou.
Again, good seeing you today, John. As always, and you too, Wes. NY2H is clear.
Thank you very much, Lou. And I appreciate it. John, pick up. I'm going to take 3 minutes. Oh, do we still have Canada here?
Should be. And thank you, Lou.
Well, I don't know you, but thank you. And yes,
you are. I'm
James C3J. I'll be flown through IRLD.
Well, Jim, we have discussions with John very late night, and that happened twice a week usually right now. It was almost every night before, but we got tired. John, pick up.
Well, we just have nothing more to say. We ran out of subjects. Gonna have to think up some new subjects, but it's always fun.
Before you went, I'd ask, just, I heard you say the repeater's going down. I'm guessing you knew it was happening, because I say I heard that. Do you know your latitude, where you are?
41, roughly 41.
Well, we have the advantage of CNN. My satellite service gives me Boston and Seattle. So if I watch American news, a lot of the network shows I'll be forced to watch the Canadian feed because simulcast them. But CNN and American news, I get Boston, and we have a lot easier winters than I see through a whole lot of the area south and east. You had some rough snowstorms that we really didn't get last year. So you probably don't get much of Toronto other than our mirror.
Watching the weather patterns here in New York, it seems that everything turns to the east. For Prince Edward Island, it seems to make that break to the right when it's bad weather coming up from New York. So where it goes from there, I have no idea, but evidently it doesn't hit you guys up there.
It's hard to tell about winter. You can get the snowfall, but it often depends how slushy it gets, how easy it is to keep cleaned. Is there anywhere to put it? I'm sure there's areas in the city, at any old city, that if you get a lot of snow, they run out of places to put the snow. You've got news from Buffalo. They were having houses collapsed from the weight of snow. And the winter of 76 that hit Buffalo that just missed Toronto. But Toronto itself has not had like problems with houses being collapsed by snow load. But it could vary. It's how you cope with winter and how hard it is to clear the snow away can make a big difference. See, I don't know New York City. I see it from TV. I haven't actually been to New York. I've been through Adirondacks and didn't see a lot of. It was nice September, October weather, but I've never made it further east.
One time, snow removal in the city was quite easy because, remember, it's five boroughs, most covered by water. So they would just push all of the snow into the water. Well, they're not allowed to do that anymore now. Now they have to put them in melters, and it goes into the storm sewers, which empty into the water anyway. Why they can't dump it in the water? Because of the idiotic EPA and all of these stupid politicians. So yeah, you're right. Now we have big piles of snow, which we never had that before. They used to just push it into the East River and the Hudson River, and it would be gone. Now it takes days to get anything done.
You know, you're probably going to be talking to Dick, and if talking about surviving the power outage, the easiest thing I did was went to Walmart and I bought their big bulk battery, because I believe it's a deep cycle battery, and I wired about 100 ampere hour battery into a 200 or 250 watt UPS that normally come with a 7 ampere hour battery inside. I didn't know how it was going to work out, because you're running something outside of its intended purpose, but that the UPS could deal with the internet, charging iPhones, running the Wi-Fi router and the DSL, and 2 to 4 hours of TV without killing the battery, and a good battery charger to charge it up. That's something you might want to mention, how to wire in, get the red and black wire on a UPS and run it to a 12-volt battery. And I ran 12-gauge wire successfully, by the way.
Well, yeah, that's a great idea. If you could have a couple of batteries, yeah, you can have a small lamp on, run your TV set, and, if you use it gingerly, you could squeak by. But to be out for days, I was out for 5 days during that hurricane. And my battery supply, of course, only lasted me 45 minutes because of errors in thinking that the batteries were in good shape. They were large batteries, but they had reached their limit. And I disposed of those, and I was thinking of getting a generator, but I haven't made up my mind yet. But it seems that a nice diesel generator would be the way to go. Something small, maybe 3-4 kilowatts.
It depends how much you need to run. Home Depot brought out a product called by Ryobi, and it's 1600 watts, 2000 peak, inverter driven. So much quieter. Almost half the fuel consumption on about the same load as Generac 3250. And the other thing this Ryobi could do, it could run the real skill saw, table saw, chop saw, or compound miter saw. It had the power to run those. The 14 amp limited Generac, though it's two circuits, it's only 14 amps each, could not run those tools. You wind up... I was able to keep ice cream through the summer, and I shut the generator off at night and started at 8, 9 o'clock the next morning. I wasn't in a panic at 7 a.m. to start the generator, and I had good ice cream, though the fridge was off for 8 and 10 hours at night.
Well, the thermal characteristics of the insulation, probably excellent in that refrigerator. That's a good duration to be able to hold ice cream. That's a tough subject. But I don't know. I like the idea of the something around 3 kW, because I do have a lot of things that I have to run. Well, I'd like to keep my furnace running, of course, and my refrigerator. The phone system, I have the Fios, that lasts a fairly long time. But also to use the generator to charge batteries for auxiliary work. So it takes a lot of thinking and a lot of... you want to think it out completely before you make a purchase. That's what I've been trying to do. but I've been lagging a little bit.
Part of batteries is that you can get 50 to 75% charging relatively quickly, but it takes runtime on a generator to fully charge a battery. I considered, if I was going to do it again, I might have several batteries and actually use batteries to run a battery charger. But the batteries that don't get fully charged have three batteries. And two of them get bulk charged to 70% in short time. And then they run a charger that brings the trickle to the last battery. And every day a different battery gets the trickle charge off the other two. So you, otherwise your batteries are only sitting at 70. The best you'll get is 70% if you don't have 10 or 12 hours.
Yeah, a lot of guys will run cables from their car to charge the batteries too. And even disconnect their battery in the car and let the car run. But, you know, that's kind of an expensive way to do it. But when it's an emergency, whatever you need, you got to do.
I was getting by with call it 1.2, 1.3 U.S. gallons a day. So it's 5 liters in U.S. gallon and 3.8.
Well, you know, the other thing is a lot of the people here have put on solar cells up on their garage roofs in their home. And are using that to charge the batteries consistently, and that works pretty well. So if they have that and short interruptions of power, they can charge from charger units. And don't forget, like you say, candles. You don't have to have a light on. A candle's good enough, unless you need to do something very important. A candle you can see around the house. Those are other things that people could do.
Philips and others are putting out LED lights. They're pretty power efficient, I think. The hardest problem I had was measuring the current of some things, because the current was so low. I had to play around to get resistors to measure the voltage drop across to figure out the current. You know, the one challenge is when you're without things you would miss, an LED clock. It's a tiny bit of current, but that, and the other thing an LED clock will do, if the clock doesn't keep good time, some of them means your frequency's off. I noticed the non-inverter generator, the clock ran fast.
I have a grandfather clock that keeps excellent time. You gotta wind it up, but you're absolutely right. When you start running clocks on generators that don't have perfect frequency, those synchronous motors just go crazy. And the battery-operated clocks, they seem to work well. You know, the battery lasts about a year. And I have one of those atomic clocks that keeps very good time.
Hey, Hamilton, west of us, 30 miles west of us, is still listening. Yeah, the thing is, my wife likes when she, if she turns over in the middle of the night, to be able to look at the clock and see what time it was. And, so that was, you know, that was just one of the things to do. But I think your furnace is probably only 3-amp load. I know my furnace and fridge together were not a big load. So I only last week had to turn on the furnace. It was starting to get chilly. It was only Tuesday last week that I actually turned on my furnace.
Yeah, my furnace draws a lot more than 3 amperes. I've got 5 circulator motors with it, plus all of the electronics that go with it. So it sucks up a lot of current.
commercial FM. But he pulls his own music. Computer selected radio, it's not programmed radio, and he's a DJ from 40 years ago who got back into radio Saturday and Sunday night, so it's a real challenge. But he's available, like you, he's available for podcasts. I can listen to David Marsden on later in the week. But no, it's interesting. Covers some topics, and I got my question in early on a big radio, so that was nice.
Yeah, that JRC equipment, they make some very nice stuff. A lot of nice marine, big marine equipment they make. And it works well. I've seen a lot of it. We've installed a lot of it. Good stuff.
Well, we'll see how it goes. I'd empty the room out, new electrical panel, and I had the room really clear of stuff and junk and area in front of the panel and the table all cleared. So when the hydro inspector came in, his access wasn't challenged. Because when you do it yourself, you don't want the guy aggravate at you to condemn your installation. And so I passed that. And the utility did it as their 24-hour service, so they were. I only called them Friday afternoon, and they came dark on Saturday and strung a new wire. So I now can set up my radio equipment downstairs, and I put in two ground rods, which were above and beyond the need for electrical, because the water pipe would have been good enough, but I established a ground that I can use for my radios also. I don't have an antenna up in the house because I'm doing construction. I have no second floor in my house. Well, I have the walls. I don't have a roof. So I'm out in my car. So I hope to have a radio in the house. Probably by next Sunday night I can be inside on the radio. It's all right listening on the iPad, but sometimes real radio.
Yeah, it would be more convenient to work in the house than to get a roof on the house. Yeah, that's for sure. And now with winter coming, it's going to be a little rough. But you've been working on that for a while, I believe, right?
I'm slowly making progress. Time me with a calendar. The most important thing, same as radio towers, roofs, or anything else, is not to get hurt, to not fall. You know, like I spent 2 days putting a walkway on top of a back porch, so I had a safe platform with railing at the edges to walk on, because the porch precluded me using a ladder to get up to the top of the house.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Safety first. And when you rush, you make mistakes. And you have to think of things as you go and still develop a plan, of course. But things come up. It just happens. So, yeah, you're going to take your time.
Are you still a climber? Do you still go up towers at all?
No, I haven't for a while. Last time was like 6 years ago. No, I'm 74 years old. I'm done.
So, I need a good purchase, but because of where I'm at, I have some tower, but tower needs to be able to swing down or lower or pivot. I'm too old to be going up a tower to adjust something. And I know I've heard Dick talking where he's had tower pros doing his work, because I don't know how much tower he has, but I'm sure he's more than one, and I'm sure there's a website, I'm going to look it up, and I'm sure he's got pictures. but I'm doing nothing really big here in the city. Up north, well, got more space. Trees and wires are good.
He originally had two towers. He lost one in Sandy, which I believe was a 60-footer, but he still has the 100-footer. And he's in the process of assembling a new tower and collecting everything he needs. So maybe by spring he'll be putting up that new tower.
Well, he's lucky he's got, he's now grandfathered in. Anyway, it's not that Chili's I had to start the car. That time will come. And I don't think I'll be driving by during the week. I know sometimes there's, Scott had told me activity here often, other weeknights. But I know I'll be back for a week from now.
Okay, Jeff, I'll look forward to next week, next Sunday, hearing you on the TechNet, and maybe we can have that discussion about some emergency power or different systems for people. You know, that information has to be disseminated because not everybody is listening at the same time. So mentioning it a couple of times is always a good idea. But you have fun, enjoy the week, and if you're around, drop in. Say hello. AC2WGB.
Well, have an interesting week. I heard you alluding to your collection, so have fun. I'm still looking for that smartphone application called Where Is My Stuff? And you could probably print out barcodes, all sorts of ways, but that's what we needed. The app for Where Is My Stuff? Like, where is it? I don't know. You must find that as keeping track of stuff. Anyway, I'll say 7-3.
Yeah, you need RFID tags on everything. Oh, boy. All right, I'll say 7-3. You enjoy, and have fun. Be safe out there. KC2WGB clear.
Yeah, Jim, have a good night, too. I'll worry for the moment. Thank you very much for being with us and chatting with us. Yeah. John and me, we are kind of different sort of human beings. Just different. John, pick up.
I don't know if I want to be associated with human beings anymore. I gotta have to find a different species label. Because I watch this news and the papers and stuff, and these humans are going crazy. Gotta get out of that field.
Yeah, well, John. there is significant difference. You take a group, to the group of ham radio operators, it could be group of people, and then you try to assign to them features. And there are some features that are pretty much common, despite the fact of what they are interested with. And say, one of the things, most of those people watch TV, pretty much no. Most of them, they have a cable TV. Yeah. Okay. Most of them, take a rest at home and look how to get out of home because home is boring. There's not much happening in at home. So, most of those individuals are getting crazy when they have to stay at home for longer. Do you agree so far with that?
Well, in some ways, you know, it's all perception. What people want out of life, it's not exciting at home. Well, okay, what is exciting? Let's cover that. What's exciting to what type of person, all right? the guy who wants to go out and drink, or he wants to go out and maybe just spend an evening with his friends and have a few cocktails and some conversation, or does he want to go to a ball game? And, you know, there's so many different facets that they can move on. And I guess if you're the type to go along with the crowd, you want to be one of the in people or, you know, be accepted, you do that. See, you and I don't have that problem. You don't care if you're accepted. I don't care if I'm accepted. You know, I don't really worry about it. So those people, they got issues.
Yeah, well, with studying you're raising questions to yourself, but also to others, and you're taking a particular approach at which you are getting some significant results and you're happy with them, but for the most those results are not necessarily placed at home. So say work, say activity, say entertainment, and say perception. The media created sort of schematic which was driven based on the rich expectation. One of them was, let's go shopping. Especially was motivating women, let's go shopping. Because nothing is happening at home, let's go shopping. We may not buy something, but we have a chance to spend the money. And that was actually what they do. In the 90s, very much pressure by the rich was put on the people to use the credit card. So anything and everything about the credit card and score and spending. And there was another one. So those two things are not necessarily placed at home. Activity. If you take the activity, you have a sport, you have a jogging, you have something that is harmless to rich and powerful. So, yes, music, yes, theater, yes, whatever kind of, yes, restaurants. A restaurant because it's spending, then it's taxes and whatever. Okay, so, most of those things were driven out of home. Do you agree with that?
Well, I don't blame the rich for making middle class or lower middle class spend money on credit cards. That's their own inability to control their lifestyle. The fault lies with them only. They're the ones spending the money. It's their fault. Nobody's making them spend the money. Okay, you say, well, they want to feel like somebody, so they go out and spend money. Well, okay, you spent the money, you got in debt, it's your fault, you pay for it, no bailout. No bailouts for nobody. So I don't agree with that part of it. I don't think the rich are making anybody spend money.
Well, I have a different opinion about it. They do. See, there were certain things implemented by the media to the brain of the people. I'm not really trying to speculate right now if 9/11 was the right explanation or the wrong explanation, but it was something that stays in the minds of the crowd. And then you think, how easy it is to manipulate this crowd. Few media giving few information, and then everybody thinking one way. Whether it's right, whether it's wrong, I don't care about it. It's just that it's one way of seeing it. Then you have a memory places for it. You have museums. You have a 9/11 memorials, and so on and so on. So, if we treat 9/11 as one of the orientation direction for the masses to be manipulated, we may say that the other one was a credit card, because it was in benefit for the rich, for those who are credit card companies and making money on it. A crowd must be driven to the road of benefit for the rich and to Asia.
Well, that is a way to look at it. I think it's wrong, because that's like saying, okay, I'm in my house, I leave $5 on the table, and somebody comes to my house and visits me. He takes the $5. Okay. Now, whose fault is that? Directly his fault. He is a thief, or she is a thief. Now, you talk about the credit cards. Nobody's twisting their arms to spend that money. It's their inability to control their own financial living. You spend more than you make, you are doomed to failure. And you are going to have to pay for that. Nobody should have to help you out. As soon as a bank says to you, my friend, we're going to help you buy this house, look out. There is no friend. They want to make money. Everybody who functions wants to make money. So if you make errors because you're not paying attention or you're not educated in that, it is all your fault. You cannot blame the rich for talking you into buying this super duper car. You want to buy this Bugatti that costs $2.5 million and you don't have the money? Whose fault is that? I think that's silly.
John, actually we're touching the subject of cognitive dissonance. We're actually touching situation that involves conflicted attitudes. We're also touching beliefs and behaviors. So, we're starting to see a house as something different for you and me than it is for many others. The assumption I have made that if we take many others as a group, then we have more than 50% of them, which I call them more than, more of them, who would be behaving a certain way, which we will not. So, say, we're people who smoke. That's a behavior, right? It causes cancer. That would be the cognition that is assigned to it. So then we're talking about cognitive dissonance, which actually from one hand is a behavioral factor that smoking is something that is very much present, although it's not that present as it was 10 years ago. But then we have a cognitive factor that also makes a discomfort. People don't like me to say about their discomforts. People protest about me to point about their discomforts. Even if they spend the money different way, they want to be in the group that spend the same. They don't like somebody point fingers at them and to exchange.
Well, yeah, nobody likes to be singled out. But if you are guilty of buying a house that is much larger or more expensive than you need, and you are right at the limit at what you can afford, okay, you bought the house, you put the down payment, you did everything right. But now comes winter, you can't afford to heat that house. You're going to blame the bank for that? No. You you just make it complicated. First of all, I don't like asking questions. I don't like to ask a group of people a question if I don't agree with their lifestyle and their thoughts of success, because the information coming back isn't going to help me. I want to talk to the person who is happy and successful, good at his job, and is moving forward, not laterally. And all of these people who must buy a product or something to fill a need, again, sure, Madison Avenue programs people. You must have this if you want to be like this superstar. Who are you to want to be like that superstar? You're nobody compared to this person. Why should you have anything that they have? You don't need it. So all those things about worrying about people's mental attitudes and all, they're just ignorant of how they should live. And I think it's very simple.
Yeah, but now you're touching the principles of cognitive consistency, which would be the factors or attitudes or changes of the factors in which in a person. Now you're trying to single out not the person but the group. You say, I like to talk to the people who are successful, but then those who are less successful feels kind of embarrassed. Why he's doing that? People don't like you, John, sometimes because you are smarter, or you are different, or you can say something that they cannot. And to exigen.
Well, yeah, not smarter, but different, yeah. Oh, absolutely. But look, they say you can't label people. You can't do this, you can't do that. There's political correctness and all this crap. We've had this conversation before. But look, if you went to Malachi and you said, okay, these people are lepers. Well, they are lepers. Oh, well, you're singling these people. No, I'm not. That's a group of lepers. So whether you have one leper or a group of lepers, they're the same, all right? Now, if you have one person who acts foolishly with their money or their finances or thinks they're stock wizards and lose their life savings, that belongs to the same group of people. So if you want to say in groups, yes, as long as you group them in the same failure mode, yeah, they're all the same. Numbnuts.
And it would be something like experience of dissonance, which obviously is unpleasant. So then people are motivated to reduce it or eliminate it and achieve consonance, which would be the agreement. But sometimes the ways that they go to consonance is by eliminating not a problem, but the cause. So the cause is the person who is talking right now, or you are, who are actually according discussing those issues with me and not significantly opposing. So for the people who are listening to these discussions who are very much uncomfortable or have experiencing dissonance, the best way is just to put the nail in your foot. That's the way that they want to eliminate, which is completely wrong. Can't you see it?
Well, also, you must understand that some people like to be miserable. For what reason, I don't know. I don't know anything about psychiatry. But there are some people who like to live, and they're down every day, and you know you can't have a bad day every day. It's impossible. So they don't appreciate the good days because they don't see them. Now, why don't they see the good days? Why don't they see anything good in the world or in people? It's just there are so many good people, but the people who are bad act like such in incorrigible ways that they seem to be the masses. Well, when it comes to financial errors, people people do make those, and it's not always their fault in that's what they wanted to do, although like gamblers, yeah, they want to lose. Believe it or not, gamblers want to lose, the ones that are, belong to Gamblers Anonymous or whatever. And that's the truth from what my psychiatrist tells me. But other people who are trying to make an investment in the market and lose their money, sure, I feel bad for them. But whose fault was it? Nobody told them they had to buy the stock. So you got to take each position of failure and view it separately. It's not always the same, but I think the MO is pretty standard.
John, I would name it Kurt. They have a little problem, would you say? Nobody told them. Yes, they were told. They're professional, paid by rich and powerful for the crowd to do what they want to do. So, quote, there was Leon Furstinger. There was a guy who was playing with, actually he was a psychologist, and he was playing with many kind of experiments trying to prove that manipulation that is happening in the United States of America and around the world is driven by a certain mechanism. The cult is believed, say, one of the examples that he took was that he took a group that believed that Earth is going to be destroyed by the flood. And what happened to its member, particularly, they really committed to that. And many of them had given their whole jobs to work for the cult when the flood did not happen. So there were fringe members inclined to recognize that they have made fools of themselves and to put it down to the experienced committed members more likely opposing to be converted to this kind of belief. Although we may speculate on the concept of the religion by itself, but I'm trying to distance myself from it. Let me drop. Trying to keep to the cognitive dissonance theory, which was the tendency for the individual to seek consistency in a situation they are at, even though that situation is created by themselves. So you have a standard, the standard was using the credit cards and buying a stock. And there was a number of guys who were making money on it. Stringer, whoever was there, the stocks and equities and whatever. Also taking the loans. The whole collapse of 2009 happened because it was too much of brainwashing from the rich and powerful that created a way for the poor to get busted by taking the loans. Nobody told them, yes, they were told, John, and Derek Zia.
Well, see, you like applying the fault to the person like a salesman. It's the salesman's fault that I bought this thing and now I don't like it or it killed me or whatever. Look, you remember that lunatic when the Hale-Bopp comet was coming and he said, it's coming for us, and they all went to bed, took poison, and they all died because they were convinced by this guy that this is what they had to do, and blah, blah, blah. All right. Who do you blame for that? Do you blame the rich for that? No. You talk about cults. Cults, whether it's the KKK or the Posse Comitatus and all that, those zealots are crazy people. Now, what else you got? Look at that guy Jones. Took all of those people, children, women, husbands and everything, down to Guyana or wherever it was, and they all took poison, to whatever they were doing, I don't know, but they are all took the poison and died. Who do you blame for that? You're going to blame the rich for that? The government for that? It's the same thing with the banks, only they're not getting killed. They're just getting raped financially. You can't blame the rich for that. That's the people looking because of greed. They thought they could get a better house than they deserve. Nothing wrong with thinking that, but when it kicks back on you, you've got no claim.
See, that's the world we live in, at, John.
I think it's back up.
Okay. I remember in Poland when I was young, and when I was driving with you, I told you about it, fear. The freedom of this country allows you to touch subjects. That doesn't mean that everybody likes those subjects. It's just that you feel more free to touch the subject and to share.
Oh, I agree. I think I feel free to touch any subject. There's no subject that really is taboo or shouldn't be talked about. Because, and second of all, I don't want everybody to think alike.
Repeater system, node number 9126 on the New England reflector.
Link active.
Thank you very much for putting the repeater on and to exchange.
Yes, now the link is established.
Yeah. Listen. Also, the discussion that we had is kind of uncommon, don't you think so?
Did you use the word uncommon?
That is correct.
Uncommon for us? No, I don't believe it's uncommon for us. But some people may not be used to hearing that.
Oh yeah, it's not uncommon to us. Is uncommon in overall.
Well, I just believe that people should be responsible for themselves and the position that they put themselves in, and they should not be looking for bailouts or help from anyone. Maybe a priest or something, or maybe a witch doctor. But no, the government, like what they did with bailing out these big companies and all of that. I don't agree with it. I should have let them fail. But it just doesn't go that way because money rules the workers.
Well, one way of feeling a comfort for the crowd is to reduce the importance of cognitions. So those people could convince themselves that it's better to leave for today than to save for tomorrow, which was one of the directions driven from of his idea. So in other words, the person could tell himself that the short life filled with smoking and sensual pleasures is better than long life devoted to science or devoted to any kind of activities. Look what's happening in the politics. And compare it to the politics of 1956. There was a politics, quite different one, and now it's a politics of money. In order to get to be a president for the second term, it's about $1 billion to spend. Well, who can afford that? And tell me how it was in 1956 and 2016.
Well, it was still rich people that were involved in becoming presidents, even back in the time. And look at Roosevelt, filthy rich money, those people. But now with the political action committees, the PAC programs that they have, they get money funneled in, and yeah, you're right. Billion may be more than that. I don't know. But when you look at history and you see how it's played, it seems it doesn't change. So there's not really much you can do about it except find ways to work around it. And don't look to blame other people. Look for solutions. And this is what our government is not doing now. All of these people are just putting little wooden pegs in all of the holes in the dike, hoping that nobody's going to notice that the dike is leaking. Well, it's not working anymore. So now they're exposed. So you had 6 years of Obama, 6 years and 2 years, he had control of the Senate, the House, the Justice Department, the White House, and did nothing, accomplished nothing. All right. Now you expect it to be different with the Democrats? If we elect more Democrats? It's crazy.
Well, actually, he did. He made obligation for every person living in the United States to pay for medical. I see that as a reducing dissonance. That would be like, well, we're talking about medical. So we acquired the new information that somehow outweighs the dissonance beliefs. So say, smoking causes the lung cancer. And that, of course, is dissonance. But there will be a new information that's implemented that the research has not proven definitely that smoking causes lung cancer. And that may reduce the dissonance. The same story was with Mr. Obama. He said, for us to reduce the dissonance, everybody is going to have a health care. Everybody is going to be able to afford it. Guess what? I just got the new paper. It says that next year I'm going to bring much more. And 2 years.
That's right. 20% more, probably. And he promised things he could not do. Why? Inexperience? Lack of advisors? It has to be done when and how it is to be done. You take them and you take their advice to say, well, we won't know how it works until it's in motion because nobody can read all of this paperwork.
We should leave the subject of President Obama, because that would be a political one for some. Which actually, we're talking philosophy again here. But yes, John, for the past 30-something years, on ham radio and